This is The Drive with Josh Graham podcast.
We are killing it online.
Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons 3 to 7 on WSJS.
So glad to have you on this Friday drive. We've made it. And it's WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where this week's news cycle was unlike any we've seen maybe in history, at least in terms of coaching news. Nick Saban, the greatest college coach ever, retires on Wednesday. Bill Belichick, the greatest ever in the NFL, departs New England the next day, and both their successors were either announced and or hired today. It's Gerard Mayo in Foxborough, and as of the last couple of hours, Washington's Kalen DeBoer is the choice at Alabama. Already see the edits with him wearing a houndstooth hat that says DeBear at Alabama. Hey, DeBear. That news can wait, though, because there are NFL playoff games tomorrow. And listen, even though the Carolina Panthers for the sixth straight year are not playing in the postseason, they have a ton of reasons to be paying close attention to wildcard weekend. And let's start with the obvious. Five of the six games feature a coordinator that Carolina has requested to interview. Carolina's already completed four interviews, a couple internally, Chris Tabor, the interim coach, Ajiro Evero, the defensive coordinator, and then since the Ravens were on a bye, they could interview both the Baltimore coordinators. Five of the six wildcard games feature a coordinator Carolina's requested to interview. Two of the games have coordinators going head-to-head. Ben Johnson from the Lions facing Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris. You have the Bucs OC facing the Philadelphia Eagles OC. And you know, David Tepper wants to see whoever he's going to hire lose this week.
You know, with concerts.
What? Yeah. If their coach loses this weekend, then he's available to interview in person sooner. And also, the appeal of that coach, the stock of that coach, won't be soaring so high that perhaps a more appealing destination scoops in and takes him from you. Speaking of that pool of vacancies, that pool of eight this cycle could grow based on this weekend's games. Now, that pool is currently seven because of Gerard Mayo being hired in New England, but this cycle, there was as many as eight. That could get the double digits. I'm looking at the loser of the Green Bay-Dallas game. If Green Bay gets drubbed, which they very well could in Dallas, that might be all she wrote for Coach LaFleur. If Dallas loses on wild card weekend at home, you think 80-plus-year-old Jerry Jones is going to be patient with Mike McCarthy? With the guys that are available right now to hire? This is an unprecedented coaching cycle where you got not one, not two, but at least three proven head coaches available to hire. Future Hall of Famers available. The greatest ever in Bill Belichick's case. Pete Carroll, who won 60% of his games at Seattle over 14 years, if he still wants to coach. Jim Harbaugh won 71% of his games with San Francisco. Just won a national title at Michigan, and we know he's interested in the NFL. And then you still have the coordinators. Oh, and Mike Vrabel. Ha! Mike Vrabel won 55% of his games with the Titans. And he's available because, again, New England didn't bring him home. They chose Gerard Mayo. Now, apparently it was already in his contract that he was going to be the successor, so details matter in that. But when you have these types of coaches available, there are going to be playoff teams that decide, yeah, I'm going to try and upgrade and let go of the guy I have right now. I could see Green Bay doing that. I could see Dallas doing that. I could see Buffalo, if they, for whatever reason, lose to Pittsburgh on Sunday. Bad weather in Buffalo. Gabe Davis is out for the game. You don't think they're going to move off of Sean McDermott with those types of coaches available? You got to win right now. Your window to win's right now with Josh Allen. And I wouldn't even rule out some other jobs coming free. There were the Andy Reid whispers of his retirement, perhaps. Maybe that happens. I don't know. Some say if the Eagles, given the way they closed the season, if they lose to the Bucs on Monday, is Nick Sirianni safe? Like, if just two of these things happen, 10 changes this cycle, you're talking about a third of the sport turning over. And that's important to the Carolina Panthers. You don't want it to grow that big because you don't have one of the more appealing jobs available. So that's another reason to be paying close attention if you're David Tepper. Go Buffalo Bills, go.
You know, with concerts.
Go Eagles, go. Go Chiefs, go. Keeping an eye on those teams. So that way you can perhaps, even if they make a change later, beat them to the punch in hiring somebody. Let's also not forget, CJ Stroud makes his playoff debut tomorrow. There is no doubt, if you were to inject David Tepper with truth serum, that he is rooting for Cleveland tomorrow. No doubt. Because that would just be continuing to twist the knife inside the Panthers. Could have had this guy. He's going to win NFL Rookie of the Year, having one of the greatest rookie seasons ever. Oh, and he's winning a playoff game now. Isn't that great? Isn't that grand? And you also want Houston to lose, because like we mentioned before, if they lose, Bobby Slowick's name. You saw how big of a jump there was by playing in a standalone game a week ago and that graphic going up and winning the division. You saw what that would do. If he wins a playoff game too, goodness. If you lose, hey, well, maybe his name doesn't continue to soar and you have a shot at getting him, if that's in fact the guy you want to hire. But all this to say, even though the Panthers aren't playing this weekend, the Panthers will be paying close attention to Wild Card Weekend. On X, at WSJS Radio, if you want in, that is where we're streaming video, in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. WD, tell the people about our show on Monday.
There won't be one.
Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah.
We're off. There might be some YouTube exclusive content.
That's a tease.
Involving an ACC coach that you could get on Monday. So make sure you're subscribed there if you aren't already. Spent some time on the Panthers. The next most popular team in the state of North Carolina is the Washington Commanders. Looking at the GM carousel, one of the Panthers GM candidates, Will McClay, he's decided he's going to return to the Dallas Cowboys for another year. Here's to hoping David Tepper can figure out a way, act quickly, hire a GM this weekend before he hires a head coach, because that seems like the right way to do it. That's not going to happen.
You know, with concerts.
But that is exactly what Washington did today. So getting back to the Commanders, they just hired the San Francisco 49ers exec, Adam Peters, who was seen to be the top GM candidate available. And this is what we've learned. The Josh Harris Commanders are much better set up in 2024 than the Panthers were set up for success when David Tepper took over in the summer of 2018. It is night and day. For one, Harris doesn't seem interested in being the primary decision maker. He hires respected advisors, including a big name like Warriors former general manager Bob Myers. They hire their GM before a coach. They get a really good GM. And the big headline out of that is, according to Diana Rossini, he's been assured he gets final say on football operations. He is in charge of the football operation. Full stop. He doesn't mind letting the football people do the football things. And that's probably because he owns two other teams in other sports. The Devils, the Sixers, and now this is his third team. He knows how it's supposed to run. And he just doesn't mind sitting in a suite, drinking beer, letting the sports people do the sports stuff while he just does the business stuff and owning stuff. He'll just chug a beer and not throw it on a fan. That's him. Meanwhile, David Tepper, he's got to be in the center of it. I got to be making the hire.
You know, with concerts.
I brought concerts to Charlotte. I brought Leo Messi into the stadium. Look how filled up it is. I'm going to be the guy that does all the things. It's me. It's my team.
You know, with concerts.
That ego trip. That's the difference between the two. And unlike Carolina, Washington is in position to draft a franchise quarterback without having to mortgage their future in doing so, without having to give up scary Terry McLaurin or one of their better prospects. You know, the Panthers had to give up DJ Moore, had to give up, you know, several first-round draft picks. Washington's picking number two. What's that mean? You get either Caleb Williams or Drake May. That's appealing to a coach. A lot of cap space, that's appealing to a coach too. Having a common-sense football operation where the owner's not running things, but the GM is, who's respected, that's attractive too. Carolina, this was something that kind of hurt them. Not even kind of, a lot hurt them. In David Tepper's first 5 years, 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22. They were bad, always picking in the top 10, but they never picked in the top five. And there's a big difference between the two, where Carolina is picking seventh in 2020 rather than sixth, where Justin Herbert was taken. So they were never drafting high enough to get the franchise quarterback. Washington, it was bad enough to pick number two, so they're going to be able to get that guy without having to give up draft picks or players in order to get the pick. So who are they going to hire, Washington? I think they're dipping into the same pool as Carolina. You should expect them to hire an offensive-minded coach. We talk about it when coaches are fired. Usually you seek the inverse of what you just fired. What's the obvious of Ron Rivera? Well, it isn't hiring a retread, and Ron Rivera is a defensive-minded coach. So a young offensive coordinator is the opposite of what you just fired in Ron Rivera. And Peters came from the 49ers. The trendy level of offense that we see in the NFL is the Shanahan offense that's, you know, outside zone and spreading it around. So hiring one of these trendy Shanahan tree guys would seem to make the most sense, especially Bobby Slowick, who again appeared on that graphic, being on that Washington staff where McVay was, Shanahan was, McDaniel was, and he was in San Francisco with Shanahan and with Adam Peters. So Bobby Slowick and Frank Smith are a couple to keep an eye on that make a lot of sense for the Washington Commanders. That's a banger.
And now, on with the show.
Showtime.
Back to the Drive with Josh Graham.
For better or for worse, the successors announced at Alabama and with the New England Patriots today had me thinking about Duke. And we'll hit on each one. The Patriots have tabbed Gerard Mayo as Bill Belichick's successor. It appears like it's a done deal that Kalen DeBoer, Washington's coach, is Nick Saban's successor at Alabama. I suppose we can start with the Bama piece. This is not like Coach K passing things along to John Shire. It's not even a lot like Roy passing things along to Hubert, or in a football sense, Bob Stoops grooming Lincoln Riley to give him the reins and continue and sustain the success within those programs or within that program in Norman. This is not a Nick Saban hand-picked guy. DeBoer's not going to have the same infrastructure that Saban did. That was so important about the Shire piece. Yeah, you have the block D on your chest, and that means something to recruits, but it was the succession plan, grooming John Shire, showing him all the things that he did, Kay did, in order to be successful, that's netted results right away for the Blue Devils. That's not going to be what happens with DeBoer. There's no tie to the Alabama program, no tie to the SEC. He's likely going to bring in his own guys that just led him to the college football playoff, but that was at Washington, which is a different league, literally, a different level than what you need in order to win in the SEC. Alabama staff is about to get poached by a ton of folks in the SEC, you'd think. Support staff members, strength coach, those types of things that you just take for granted but are essential to winning on Saturdays. That's what makes this different. And Kalen DeBoer, it's going to be a disaster. I'm not usually the one to make strong judgments on a hire right away. Oftentimes, we like to wait, see how a coach fits. But Alabama hiring Kalen DeBoer is an exception to that. This looks like a disaster that's doomed from the start because it's pretty darn obvious he was not their first choice. Dan Lanning said no. Sark said no. Both put out videos. Norvell was heavily pursued by Alabama, it's been reported, and that led to him getting a massive pay bump. He's going to make more than $10 million a year now with the Seminoles. They keep their coach. Who knows? Maybe Kirby Smart turned them down too. Lane Train maybe said no. Who knows? Maybe even Dabo Swinney said no. Kalen DeBoer says yes. And even though he's won at every stop, those stops were not in the SEC. You were not having to follow the greatest coach in the history of college football. But it is kind of interesting and speaks to how much is changing starting next year in college football. 14 playoff to a 12-team playoff. That in the final 14 playoff, three of the four coaches in that playoff not going to be at the place they were just a week or so ago. If we are to assume that Jim Harbaugh leaves to the NFL, like I feel like he's going to. Kalen DeBoer at Bama, Saban not coaching anymore. Sark remains in place, Jim Harbaugh to the league. And Washington's a big job. So they're probably going to hire a head coach from somewhere, which means that opening is going to have to be filled too. This is just another cycle that we're seeing. This is not the end of the story. What does failure look like for Kalen DeBoer? I don't think he's going to last more than 3 years. He's not from the SEC. He's not from Bama. So why is this donor base, why is this fan base that might have the most unreasonable expectations in America going to be patient with this guy? I don't think they will. The playoff expanding is going to make it harder to win titles, if that's the standard. And it is at Bama. And Texas and Oklahoma joining the league is going to make things harder, too. This is destined to fail. And the job's going to come open again. In 3 or 4 years, it's probably going to feel more like the Matt Doherty era than it's going to feel like what Duke just did with Coach K passing along the reins to John Shire. The New England Patriots opening and hiring of Jerod Mayo obviously connects to what Duke did because it was a succession plan. But what made it so different is that it was a stealth succession plan. This is probably what Coach K should have done. One of the biggest critiques of Coach K is it was a victory lap for him and he got all the attention. This was apparently written in a contract that Jerod Mayo is going to be the successor to Bill Belichick. That was written in his contract. Jonathan Jones of CBS explained how that worked this morning.
You can write that into an assistant coach's deal. I looked up the league rules last night, and it says the contract may include an agreement to become the club's next head coach, provided that agreement is filed with the league office at the time it's signed and occurs prior to the season. So that took place in the offseason. It was very quiet. It was between Jerod Mayo and the league office and certainly at the top tier of the New England Patriots organization. But Jerod Mayo has been showing up every day to work this past week. In fact, sometimes when a lot of the other assistants haven't been around because they have all known that Jerod Mayo was going to be the guy.
And this is why there was no rush with Belichick. Why he could wait until Thursday to announce that he's parting ways and have the press conference where they're both in it and you don't announce the Mayo piece because you want Belichick to have his day in the sun. And then a day later, you announce that Mayo is your guy. Don't forget, people were like, why not go through a full hiring cycle? Who's going to make the hire? Robert Kraft didn't make football decisions. Belichick did. Belichick was the GM, too. So you're losing your head coach and your GM. So this made sense with Belichick on the way out. Have Belichick help find who the successor is going to be. That's exactly what happened here. Belichick likely handpicked Jerod Mayo the way that Coach K handpicked John Shire. That's where that analogy comes back into the focus here. because Gerard Mayo, been around New England forever. Great player for Belichick. Longtime assistant now for Belichick. He knows what Bill's about, just like Shire knew what Kay was about. And Bill likely has groomed Gerard Mayo for this moment. And I'll trust Bill Belichick to recognize who a good coach is and who isn't a good coach. But it is kind of amazing and perfectly Patriots that they kept this quiet when it was written on paper as late as last year. It's been there for a while, but the Patriots don't. It's like the firm. Nothing gets out there. And it'll be interesting what happens with the staff. I watched the Saban-Belichick HBO doc from 5 years ago where they were together and talking, and there was a key part where Belichick said to Saban, "It was unspoken, but one of the things I respected about you, when you left my staff at Cleveland," Belichick, the head coach, Saban, the DC, "and went to Michigan State, you didn't try to take any of my assistants with you. You didn't try to mess that up." Will Belichick, if he goes to Atlanta or somewhere else, try to take his assistants from New England with him? In other words, the infrastructure. See, that's what helped John Shire be successful right now. And Hubert, to a degree, at Chapel Hill. That infrastructure is still in place. Is Belichick going to disrupt that, or is he going to start his new thing? We shall see. Let's go to Dave and Clemens at 110-336-777-1600. Unusual questions, Darren Vaught, in about 5-10 minutes or so. Dave, what do you have?
What's up, JG? Happy Friday. I wanted to touch on two things. First, with that Kalen DeBoer, I 100% agree with you. He is a product of Michael Penix Jr. Before Penix Jr. got there, they were under 500 and lost to Montana that year. It reminds me a little bit of Jimbo Fisher with Jameis Winston. I feel like Jameis Winston made Jimbo, and I feel like Michael Penix made Kalen DeBoer. And then I also wanted to touch on Nick Saban real quick and how close Nick Saban was to not ending up at Alabama, and Nick Saban and Bill Belichick going head-to-head for
Rich Rod.
Years.
Rich Rod, baby, was supposed to close to being the coach at Alabama, right?
Yes, but so when Saban was in Miami for the Dolphins, they went 9-7, and Saban wanted to bring a quarterback in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a quarterback by the name of Drew Brees in San Diego, and Drew Brees was coming onto the market and was in free agency. Drew Brees wanted to go to Miami, and Saban wanted Drew Brees. So they met and agreed that Drew Brees was going to come to Miami. Drew Brees had shoulder surgery that all season by the famous Dr. James Andrews, and the Miami training staff would not clear Drew Brees. So Drew Brees did not go to the Dolphins. Could you imagine Drew Brees and Nick Saban in Miami for years versus Tom Brady and Bill Belichick?
I'll even go farther than that, Dave. I think if that happens, imagine what college football looks like. Is the SEC the dominant conference that it is today? It just means more because of all the titles. Okay, they won 10 since 2009. 6 of them belong to Alabama and Saban. It is perhaps the greatest what-if in the 21st century of sports, if he's cleared. Because instead of Drew Brees, they get Dante Culpepper in Miami, which obviously isn't the same. We answer unusual questions and give away Third Eye Blind tickets with Darren Vaught joining us next.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
We have Third Eye Blind tickets that we'll be giving away during this segment. Darren Vaught nods approvingly as he joins us, the voice of High Point Basketball, ECU Basketball, Lottery Boy, professor at UNC, a lot of things that he does. ACC Baseball, etc., which is very important as ACC Baseball gets set to start next month. Darren, I was going to ask this as an unusual question, but I'll ask it to you now because I think it's perfectly usual considering how crazy this week has been and the topic. Nick Saban retires at Bama. Bill Belichick steps away from the Patriots. We'll see what's next for him. Saban had been in place at Bama since 2007. Belichick's been in Foxborough for 24 seasons starting in 2000. Given how many big games that we mold our lives around saying, oh, I got to make sure I'm watching this playoff game, this Super Bowl, this national championship, and otherwise, what's the most memorable game you think you remember watching of Belichick or Saban's? And I'll filibuster to give you a second to think about it, because what struck me is how many moments, seminal moments of my life, like memorable things. I'm in this apartment. I'm hanging out at this bar. I'm with this friend. Fill in the blank. I'm meeting my wife or whatever. And an Alabama football game just so happens to be on, or a Patriots game just so happens to be on that these guys have coached in.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about like things that just trigger your memory,
correct?
And in a way that makes you remember where you were, what you were doing, the entire circumstance of why you were there watching that game, or maybe it was on in the background or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's one from undergrad. Was it 2011 that LSU and Alabama were the numbers one and two teams in the country, and they played that god awful game that was like, I say that it was a great game. It
9
was
to like, 6, 2011, first of two meetings, because they played in the national championship game and Bama won the rematch.
Yeah. So I distinctly remember being at a place just off of campus with my then roommate and a group of friends. And like, that's the one, because it's such a memorable game, because it was so defensive, you know. Never since then have we really been able to say, oh, these are definitively the two best teams, yet they're not scoring.
41 or 42 players who played in that game ended up being drafted in the NFL.
Yeah. Right? Like, just all of that.
I remember being at that was my freshman year of college. I remember being at a bar that's now defunct called Rumors, which was a very, when people talk about the reputation of ECU and how people like to get after it, the getting after it happened at Rumors.
I've heard of Rumors.
And
yeah,
I remember vividly the kick that the LSU kicker had. I remember it. I could see it in my head right now on one of the big screens they had inside Rumors. So that's where I was probably that night on Saturday night in Greenville. I also think about the first apartment I ever had, and I was in Greenville in 2012 or 13 during the kick six. And my roommates, I think, were asleep, and the kick is good. And I just remember yelling loudly, because sports can trigger that. The crazy thing sometimes when Chris Davis ran that kickback. These are both Alabama losses that we're thinking of.
Yeah, that is funny. I was seated at the bar at an Outback Steakhouse for the kick six, by the way.
Yeah.
Roanoke, Virginia. Shout out.
The first time I ever went to Cameron Indoor Stadium was the night the Panthers played the Patriots, the Ice Up game. Ice Up Sun. The Steve Smith and Tom Brady's complaining coming off the field. I remember watching that on somebody's phone the end of the game while sitting courtside for the first time at Cameron. That's the first time I ever covered a game there 10 years ago.
That's a good one.
Does anything come to mind for you?
What was the question again?
What's your unusual question? Just having a nice nostalgic conversation.
What?
Give me. Yeah, hit the Steve Forbes drop.
Well,
there you go. How about you ask us? We'll get the unusual questions in a bit. Oh, that's the sounder you were calling for. Oh, I thought you were
right.
calling for.
No,
the...
I was trying. Well, sorry, I was trying to host your show.
Oh,
for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's just transition into unusual questions.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for unusual questions. With Josh Graham.
Do you have the Third Eye Blind concert information?
Yes, hence the reason why I had no clue what you were talking about, because I was getting things done back here.
Sorry.
But I have some ticket info. The Third Eye Blind tickets, they got a show in Raleigh, they got a show in Charlotte. So the one in Raleigh is going to be the 21st of July. And then Charlotte, 23rd of July.
If you'd like to go see Third Eye Blind in July, all you have to do is give us a call right now and ask us an unusual question. It could be something sports related. Usually it's more fun when it's not, but if you call in and ask us a question to discuss, you get to go see Third Eye Blind in Raleigh or Charlotte, a city of your choosing.
I saw them in August when I saw them several years ago. So similar time of year. I did see them in Raleigh. It's a great show. You want to wager a guess as to who opened?
No.
Dashboard Confessional.
Oh, wow. Vindicated!
Man, Chris put on a show. It was...
I am selfish! I am strong! That's a... I remember that was put to the Carolina Hurricanes Game 7 highlight. You could probably still find it on YouTube. Right when YouTube was starting and the Canes won the Stanley Cup. Oh, yeah. Excellent stuff, Dashboard.
Vindicated. It was also on the Spider-Man soundtrack.
Oh, that's excellent.
Tobey Maguire, remember?
Yeah. So this is actual unusual questions. I got confused for a second thinking we were already playing unusual questions, but we were not. Let's go to the phones first.
Jerry in Greensboro.
Jerry in Greensboro, you've got Third Eye Blind tickets. What's your unusual question?
Unusual question. So, assuming the Cleveland Browns go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl.
Big assumption.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco.
Ah.
Joe Flacco, Hall of Fame quarterback?
Wow.
No, I thought he was going to hit us with the, is Joe Flacco elite?
That would have been great.
Jerry, that would have been.
We already know that Joe Flacco is elite.
Darn right he is.
It's a 9 out of 10, Jerry, but 10 out of 10 if you would have asked if he's elite.
Here's my question. Is Jim Plunkett in the Hall of Fame? If Jim Plunkett's in the Hall of Fame, then Joe Flacco would have to be in the Hall of Fame because
Hall of Fame. Let's put it in that.
Sorry. He was great for multiple teams in the NFL and won a Super Bowl. If he's in the Hall, he's in the College Football Hall. He's not in the NFL Hall of Fame. So no, Joe Flacco would not get into the Hall of Fame, in my opinion, even if the Browns won the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, I say no.
There's my.
It's not going to happen.
See, WD seems all in on the Browns. There's some people who are in on the Browns. I think the Texans beat them tomorrow, but we'll see. What's your unusual question, Darren?
I saw over the weekend. Went to the movies. Not something I get to do often. I saw the latest and last Miyazaki film. You guys might have seen the
Boy and the Heron. I watched it.
Yeah, the Japanese animator got his first Golden Globe of his career on his last movie. The dude's a legend.
What's great about that is I guarantee you, like, in Japan the next morning, someone's like, you won a Golden Globe. And he's like, what is a Golden Globe?
Yeah, right.
He's like in his 80s.
You see, like, the graphics and headlines that are like, he won his first Golden Globe. He doesn't care.
Probably not.
He was done. He was fine without it. Anyway,
it was a good movie. It exceeded my expectations. He also did Spirited Away and a bunch of other movies.
Yes. Howl's Moving Castle is another good one. It's a genre that I've just, like, recently been enlightened of. You have a favorite animated movie ever?
Aladdin.
Love that answer. God, that's a good answer.
I can show you the world.
But see, like, that's fine, and it's a great sort of overture, a whole new world. But Genie made it. Like, that's just another one.
Easy. Robin Williams, fantastic. The highlight of the movie, I'll give you that. But Jasmine's the best princess. You also have the magic carpet, which rules. You have the best animal sidekick when you talk about Abu. And the best song. Iago, excellent. And a great villain, but the song too. It is a perfect Disney movie. Okay, maybe not perfect. There's some things that don't age well about it, but it is a perfectly constructed Disney movie. WD, what would be your Disney movie?
You know what?
Animated
film.
As much as I love Toy Story, and I do, I love the original Cars. The original,
I respect it.
The original Cars movie. I really love it. Never seen the others.
It was a fantastic moment in the history of the show when Mike Maniscalco asked you.
I know where you're going. The salad dressing guy.
No.
Newman.
Yeah. When he asked you, do you know who Paul Newman is? You said, yeah, the guy from Cars.
Yeah. No, I said the salad dressing guy and the guy from Cars. But specifically the salad dressing guy.
He did not enjoy that answer very much.
I need to go back and find that
clip.
We
have one more pair of Third Eye Blind tickets to give away. 336-777-1600. If you have an unusual question to ask us, WD, what's your unusual question?
So sticking with shows and favorite shows and things like that. So I saw earlier today that Wiggles was trending on Twitter.
Like the Wiggles?
I don't know.
As in the Wiggles?
I didn't do enough of a deep dive because it may have had something to do with a dog named Wiggles. I'm not sure. However, it did get me thinking.
It'd be fun if it was just the verb for whatever reason was trending.
Yeah.
We're just talking about things that wiggle.
Yeah. But it did make me think about the show, The Wiggles. And so my unusual question is, what was your go-to kid show when you were growing up? What was the staple for you?
Was Wiggles yours?
No, I did not like The Wiggles. Arthur was mine.
Oh.
Big Arthur guy.
Great memes that have come out of
That's
Arthur.
That's right.
Yeah.
The fist. I had a t-shirt with that on it one time.
His sister Dee Dee, like, hanging on to the fence. Looking longingly at what's on the other side. That's another great meme.
Yeah.
Does Full House qualify?
I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be a kid's specific show.
That is a kid's show, I think, though.
Nah.
It's kind of like, you know, like Seventh Heaven would fit in this category, right?
Boy Meets World.
Yeah, it's trying to teach you those sorts of lessons.
The value.
My sister used to come back from me and my sister. She wasn't the only one that went to school. She'd get home from school, and she'd turn on the TV and would turn on Full House. And I used to mock her for it and be like, oh, you like that show? And then she eventually caught me and said, if you don't like it so much, why do you stay in the room each time it's on?
I'm called
like,
out.
Darn it. This is good. I'm all in on. I was like, you cut it out. That's what I told her. Let's go to Tony in Greensboro. Let's go down to the sidelines to Tony in Greensboro.
How y'all doing this evening?
I'm doing well, Tony. Tony, what's your unusual question?
Okay. Since we're kind of going in the direction of TV and everything, I have a question. If you had to name, do you have a favorite black and white movie?
Oh, that's great. Thank you for the call, Tony. Darren Vaught, and congratulations on winning Third Eye Blind tickets.
Yeah. Saved by the Bell, probably my show from our previous questions,
sorry about
by
that.
The way. I didn't get a turn. It's okay. It's okay.
Do you have a black and white movie? I'll let you start.
Black and white movie? I don't know that I do. This is a no for you, right? Like, you don't watch movies.
I'm gonna do a trick. I'm gonna pull a trick on it and say, Good Night and Good Luck, the Edward R. Murrow movie that came out 20 years ago.
With Clooney. That's a great one.
All black and
white.
What
an answer.
It's not old, but it's a black and white movie. Oppenheimer kind of counts, or at least half counts, if you've seen it.
Yeah. Like, I like the is it the opening scene of Pineapple Express that they do in black and white, where Bill Hader's in the interrogation room?
Exactly.
I'm not gonna
let WD answer that question.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Let's go to Bob in Winston. Bob, you're the last one that gets to ask a question. You won some tickets. What do you have?
Yes. So if Tyreek Hill breaks the season receiving yards record, and then goes on to break the all-time receiving record, is he going to be the greatest receiver ever?
No. Jerry Rice.
It's going to look.
17 games also affects this too.
Sure. So it sort of can be easily discredited.
And also the playoff stat shouldn't count. I don't think. Like, it should just
man,
bookended. It should be bookended on 17 games.
Will
close it with the regular season.
Answering the phone with his mic open. Come
hey,
on
he's
now.
Doing a lot. Give him a break.
He is.
What I do. I always give him a break. Darren
sure.
Vaught, have a great weekend calling ECU SMU. If you're future ACC game tomorrow, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you guys.
Your attention, please. It's
showtime. This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
Let's get the playoff picks. Somebody called WD earlier this week and said, what's Josh's Super Bowl prediction? I had to think about it. And after a few days of moving things around, predicting every playoff game, I have my grid in front of me here. Let's pick every playoff game, including the six that we have for this weekend. We'll go in order. We like the Texans over the Cleveland Browns. But wait, is it Cleveland favored? And didn't Cleveland beat the Texans by double digits just a few weeks ago, right before Christmas? Yeah. Do you think Amari Cooper is going to go for more than 200 yards again? Did you know that C.J. Stroud didn't play in that game? Did you know that that game was in Cleveland and this game is not? All those reasons make me believe the Texans make the necessary adjustments and the Texans win at home over Cleveland. Saturday night on Peacock exclusively. That's not going to make anybody upset, I'm sure. Hesitantly, I'm taking Kansas City over Miami. Just because it's Miami in 0 degree temperatures. They already weren't a great road team. Tua stats when it's cooler than 40 degrees, not great. 0 degrees? Not a shot. Not at beating Patrick Mahomes on his home field. It is Tyreek Hill's return. We give credence to that. But no Bradley Chubb, former NC State Wolfpacker. Kansas City wins narrowly at home. To Sunday we go. Wrapping up the AFC games. The Buffalo Bills will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a 10-point spread. Should not be that big. I think it's going to be tighter than that, especially when there is bad weather expected in the forecast. Not 0 degree temperatures, but perhaps snow that they're going to be playing in. The Bills, they haven't really looked the part all year long. They'll figure out a way to get past Pittsburgh, but don't be surprised if that's close. Dallas is going to roll Green Bay in the most watched playoff game, but probably the worst playoff game of this weekend. Green Bay, just outmatched. And don't be surprised if by the next time we talk to you on Tuesday, since we're off Monday, Matt LaFleur is let go as the Packers coach. The best game of the weekend. Lions, Rams. We're going with Detroit. Shout out to the Detroit Lions and the city of Detroit getting their first home playoff game in 30 years. It's a Jared Goff revenge game too. Advantage, Lions. And then on Monday night, here's my upset of wild card weekend. The Bucks beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are banged up. Is A.J. Brown going to play? Got other guys who are missing. Haven't looked great over the last month, like bad over the last month, really since Thanksgiving. Even before that, the story was they were winning a ton of games, but they weren't really laying the smackdown on people. Not looking like the team they were a year ago. That's what happens when you lose both your coordinators, I suppose. The Bucks beat a checked out Eagles team in Tampa. To the divisional round, CJ Stroud. He'll win his first playoff game. Not going to win his second in Baltimore. No siree. Not on the road. That's where the run ends. In fact, the Texans season began in Baltimore. CJ Stroud's debut was a loss to the Ravens, and the Texans season and CJ Stroud's rookie year will end for the loss to Lamar and company. Everybody and their mother is going to pick Buffalo at home to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. Oh, it's Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game. That crowd's going to be crazy. The Bills, they want revenge for a few years ago. 13 seconds remaining, all that. Gabe Davis, by the way, out on Sunday. That's a big deal for the Buffalo Bills. Nah. Give me Mahomes. Mahomes in Kansas City find a way in Mahomes' first road playoff game to beat, again, an underwhelming Buffalo team. To the NFC, San Francisco, Tampa. Absolute mismatch. This is going to be a demolition. The 49ers against the Bucks. And then my upset of round two, the Lions go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys. It's another year where the Cowboys don't make it to the NFC Championship game. It's a rematch of that officiating blunder from a few weeks ago. Detroit gets right. Football karma. Karma is a cat. Karma is also the Lions going to the NFC Championship game with a win over the Lions, or the Cowboys, pardon me. Two conference championship weekend. Rams Chiefs. Remember that air quote narrative, a word I hate? Oh, Lamar can't win the big playoff game. Lamar, he can't get past Patrick Mahomes. I think a lot of pent-up frustration is let out in Baltimore with the Ravens beating the Chiefs, who are down for their standards, and everybody can see it. They're on to the Super Bowl. Their opponent, it's going to be that 49ers-Ravens rematch of that highly touted Monday night game right before Christmas, right? Wrong. Well, that was Christmas Day. The Lions are going to upset the 49ers. The Detroit Lions, who have not won a playoff game in what seems like forever, get to Super Bowl 58 on another big stage. Brock Purdy doesn't look the part like that Monday night game. I love this Lions team. My favorite coach is Dan Campbell in the NFL. I think they win this game and pull off the upset. And in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas, I don't have another upset here. I think we have enough. Baltimore beats the Detroit Lions in Detroit's first ever Super Bowl appearance. The Ravens win, what would this be, their third Super Bowl title? 2000, 2012, 2023, the second for John Harbaugh as well, the first for Lamar Jackson. There you go. Those are my playoff picks. Every single game picked WD. The only thing I feel bad about with the wild card picks, yes, I have two teams that are underdogs winning the first weekend. Can't have all the favorites. But strangely, I have all the home teams winning this weekend. So I'm bound to be wrong with one of those.
Well, we have a coffee bet on the Eagles-Bucks game. I got the Eagles winning and ultimately covering in that one. I'm not with you on the Browns-Texans. I think the Browns win in a walk.
That seems to be in a walk?
In a walk.
Joe Flacco?
Have you not watched him play?
I have.
Recently?
Again, I watched that Texans game.
I mean, they're putting up points on people.
I get it. That defense is amazing.
Uh-huh.
I understand it, but they're not as good on the road as they are at home, and I think the details are important, and I think the details of Amari Cooper going for over 200 yards in a game and C.J. Stroud not playing in that game, those details tend to matter.
Your attention, please. It's showtime.
This is The Drive with Josh Graham.
Let's get the playoff picks. Somebody called WD earlier this week and said, what's Josh's Super Bowl prediction? I had to think about it. And after a few days of moving things around, predicting every playoff game, I have my grid in front of me here. Let's pick every playoff game, including the six that we have for this weekend. We'll go in order. We like the Texans over the Cleveland Browns. But wait, isn't Cleveland favored? And didn't Cleveland beat the Texans by double digits just a few weeks ago, right before Christmas? Yeah. Do you think Amari Cooper is going to go for more than 200 yards again? Did you know that C.J. Stroud didn't play in that game? Did you know that that game was in Cleveland and this game is not? All those reasons make me believe the Texans make the necessary adjustments and the Texans win at home over Cleveland. Saturday night on Peacock exclusively. That's not going to make anybody upset, I'm sure. Hesitantly, I'm taking Kansas City over Miami. Just because it's Miami in 0 degree temperatures. They already weren't a great road team. Tua stats when it's cooler than 40 degrees, not great. 0 degrees? Not a shot. Not at beating Patrick Mahomes on his home field. It is Tyreek Hill's return. We give credence to that. But no Bradley Chubb, former NC State Wolfpacker. Kansas City wins narrowly at home. To Sunday we go. Wrapping up the AFC games. The Buffalo Bills will beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a 10-point spread. Should not be that big. I think it's going to be tighter than that, especially when there is bad weather expected in the forecast. Not 0 degree temperatures, but perhaps snow that they're going to be playing in. The Bills, they haven't really looked the part all year long. They'll figure out a way to get past Pittsburgh, but don't be surprised if that's close. Dallas is going to roll Green Bay in the most watched playoff game, but probably the worst playoff game of this weekend. Green Bay just outmatched, and don't be surprised if by the next time we talk to you on Tuesday, since we're off Monday, Matt LaFleur is let go as the Packers coach. The best game of the weekend. Lions, Rams. We're going with Detroit. Shout out to the Detroit Lions and the city of Detroit getting their first home playoff game in 30 years. It's a Jared Goff revenge game too. Advantage Lions. And then on Monday night, here's my upset of wild card weekend. The Bucks beat the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are banged up. Is A.J. Brown going to play? Got other guys who are missing. Haven't looked great over the last month, like bad over the last month, really since Thanksgiving. Even before that, the story was they were winning a ton of games, but they weren't really laying the smackdown on people. Not looking like the team they were a year ago. That's what happens when you lose both your coordinators, I suppose. The Bucks beat a checked out Eagles team in Tampa. To the divisional round, CJ Stroud. He'll win his first playoff game. Not going to win his second in Baltimore. No siree. Not on the road. That's where the run ends. In fact, the Texans' season began in Baltimore. CJ Stroud's debut was a loss to the Ravens, and the Texans' season and CJ Stroud's rookie year will end with a loss to Lamar and company. Everybody and their mother is going to pick Buffalo at home to beat the Kansas City Chiefs in the divisional round. Oh, it's Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game. That crowd's going to be crazy. The Bills, they want revenge for a few years ago. 13 seconds remaining, all that. Gabe Davis, by the way, out on Sunday. That's a big deal for the Buffalo Bills. Nah, give me Mahomes. Mahomes in Kansas City find a way in Mahomes' first road playoff game to beat, again, an underwhelming Buffalo team. To the NFC, San Francisco, Tampa. Absolute mismatch. This is going to be a demolition, the 49ers against the Bucs. And then my upset of round two, the Lions go into Dallas and beat the Cowboys. It's another year where the Cowboys don't make it to the NFC Championship game. It's a rematch of that officiating blunder from a few weeks ago. Detroit gets right. Football karma. Karma is a cat. Karma is also the Lions going to the NFC Championship game with a win over the Lions, or the Cowboys, pardon me. Two conference championship weekend. Rams-Chiefs. Remember that air quote narrative, a word I hate? Oh, Lamar can't win the big playoff game. Lamar, he can't get past Patrick Mahomes. I think a lot of pent-up frustration is let out in Baltimore with the Ravens beating the Chiefs, who are down for their standards, and everybody can see it. They're on to the Super Bowl. Their opponent, it's going to be that 49ers-Ravens rematch of that highly touted Monday night game right before Christmas, right? Wrong. Well, that was Christmas Day. The Lions are going to upset the 49ers. The Detroit Lions, who have not won a playoff game in what seems like forever, get to Super Bowl 58 on another big stage. Brock Purdy doesn't look the part like that Monday night game. I love this Lions team. My favorite coach is Dan Campbell in the NFL. I think they win this game and pull off the upset and in Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. I don't have another upset here. I think we have enough. Baltimore beats the Detroit Lions in Detroit's first ever Super Bowl appearance. The Ravens win. What would this be? Their third Super Bowl title? 2000, 2012, 2023. The second for John Harbaugh as well. The first for Lamar Jackson. There you go. Those are my playoff picks. Every single game picked WD. The only thing I feel bad about with the wild card picks, yes, I have two teams that are underdogs winning the first weekend. Can't have all the favorites. But strangely, I have all the home teams winning this weekend. So I'm bound to be wrong with one of those.
Well, we have a coffee bet on the Eagles-Bucks game. I got the Eagles winning and ultimately covering in that one. I'm not with you on the Browns-Texans. I think the Browns win in a walk.
That seems to be in a walk?
In a
Joe
walk.
Flacco?
Have you not watched him play?
I have.
Recently?
Again, I watched that Texans game.
I mean, they're putting up points on people.
I get it. That defense is amazing.
Uh-huh.
I understand it, but they're not as good on the road as they are at home, and I think the details are important, and I think the details of Amari Cooper going for over 200 yards in a game and C.J. Stroud not playing in that game, those details tend to matter.